Gnostic WB8 Order of the Golden Dawn, the non-James Joyce faction, all right, they were going to move through the Jesuit Institute at the U of T at St. Michael's College. But the Opus Dei, they don't like that. So Prince Charles said he'd come. The man who was the contact for O'Driscoll was an MI5 agent, British intelligence. He was arranging Charles to come. All of a sudden, this man shows up just as Driscoll's getting fired to tell him that the man that Driscoll introduced him to the year before, a Mr. Ed, was the man running guns to Northern Ireland. All right? Now, Northern Ireland is the Protestant section. This Mr. Ed is a layman, not a priest, cardinal, or bishop. And the British intelligence says that man running the guns to Northern Ireland was the man, a layman, a Catholic layman, who arranged the firing of Father Kelly. Not a bishop, cardinal, priest, or pope. So the coincidence is that O'Driscoll hears this about Mr. Ed, and he pulls out, to the shock of the British intelligence agent, he pulls out a letter he got from Brian Mulroney in December 85, before this happened, saying, in reference to building up this big festival in the summer of 86 with Prince Charles, Mr. Mulroney advises, and O'Driscoll had been doing a correspondence with Mulroney for several years since 1982, Mr. Mulroney says to O'Driscoll, unknowing of what's going to happen supposedly over the next few months, that the man for O'Driscoll to see in organizing this Prince Charles thing is Mr. Ed. So Mr. Ed and Mulroney are buddies. Mr. Ed arranges for Father Kelly to be fired, which then leads to O'Driscoll being fired.
Right.
So O'Driscoll, he goes into a tailspin. He doesn't understand what has happened to his career. He had built up this million-dollar Celtic Arts program. All right. So he goes into reflection. Maybe he listens to my show. But he put out a poem on February 11th. He published a poem. No major publisher would do it. No major publisher in Toronto would do it. But he published it here in Toronto with the help of a group of Poles. And so, therefore, it's sponsored by Warsaw and Toronto. And it's called NATO and the Warsaw Pact Are One. NATO and the Warsaw Pact Are One. This was released on February 11th. Notice the 2/11, February 2nd. Okay, he releases that. And in this poem, he was composing it in October, November, the events that put your head into a tailspin last fall, right? The events that I predicted. He was almost oblivious, but then it turned out that his poem was about what was surfacing in Europe. Now, this is a couple of excerpts from the interview, is what he says. He says that this, the poem, the main metaphor is you have the beast of the apocalypse versus the black beast of Celtic mythology. Now, the beast of Celtic mythology is a god who incarnates through a toe. Okay? And the guy interviewing him, which is in the Innes Herald, April 1990, I'm reading excerpts from an interview with Robert O'Driscoll about his poem, which is 64 pages. We know the I Ching value of 64. He says, this god incarnates through a toe? And O'Driscoll says, a toe, yes. And I've moved that to modern times, of a god incarnating through the big T-O, the big toe. Now, understand this, Mike. He goes on, he says, this god is a sort of spy hero. And then in section 5 of his poem, this spy hero discovers that the family that controls the Soviet Union controls the United States. And he also learns the nationality of that family. It's Canadian. This is what he found out. And he says, by the way, there's no imagination in this. No imagination in this. There's documentation of this. So the secret guys, the Illuminati, the modern pink bankers, the pink prison guys, the metaphor used for them are gray men in the poem. So the interviewer says, so the gray men are Canadian? And he says, well, they're all over the world. He says, but the key family suggested in the poem is Canadian. And then he talks about the next step is the realignment of countries, which is going on, is supposedly leading to the fact that one man stepping onto the world stage and cleaning up the economic mess, that person comes from T.O. Now, The spy is in T.O., coming through the god, coming through the big toe, dealing with the beast arriving in Europe, but the economic pink genius behind that, not subgenius, is a Canadian family. Now, is that Canadian family me, or is it the reason I'm in Toronto dealing with, as I've said, this is the Switzerland of the solar government, Canada. The significance of Canada is not known by the Canadians. But this poem is a result of him discovering this. And then he relates back to a little anecdote that he had with John Kelly in 1976. He said that John Kelly had the most impeccable credentials of any individual ever. I mean, this guy was head priest at the St. Michael's College for decades. And then he thought back that one night, he was at home, and there were four of us in the room. My wife, who most certainly wasn't involved in espionage, myself, who claims he wasn't, Kelly was there, and this woman, who was, it could be argued, the anchor woman of espionage in Europe in the Second World War. This is in 1976. And O'Driscoll says, all I remember is Kelly suddenly stood up and says, quote, so, the family that controls the Soviet Union controls the United States. And O'Driscoll says, now in my mind, well, I just registered it and didn't think of it for a while. You know, espionage works through signs. So I figured that signs were going on between Kelly and this woman, and that he was in a safe enough atmosphere that he could say what he thought. Now that was in 1976, says O'Driscoll. And he says, Kelly didn't have an irrational bone in his body. He says, I don't want to publish this, but I think I know the name of the family of the gray men. It's five families working as one. But I didn't know that until 1986, 10 years after John Kelly, Father Kelly, said what he said. So he goes on, and in the poem he has Kelly as Deep Throat. But Kelly is offed. Kelly died 8 months after he had to resign in January 86. Have we got a caller? Don't have one. Okay, I think we should rest on that. This is a poem I recommend. You can get it at the U of T bookstore. NATO and Warsaw Pact 1. The point is that it's about my work in Toronto. Now, O'Driscoll doesn't know that fact that they were one, he implies that it was a fact from 1945 on. He doesn't know the Dr. Peter division and what happened in the late 70s. He's just saying that the war game, the nuclear war scenario, was a fraud to keep the armaments industry going, which most people know now. Mm-hmm. And so he thinks there is a new military power surfacing as a result of them merging, and these two pacts, NATO and Warsaw Pact, will be gone. These two groups will be gone within a year. So he thinks his poem is important. If you want to get it, it's a U of T bookstore.
Is the poem in the Innes Herald as well, or just the interview?
No, the interview, and it's the April issue. It's a very good interview. If anybody comes down here, I'll give you a copy. And the interesting point he suggests, now he doesn't explain this in the poem, the connection between Mr. Ed and Mulroney. But I've said the Bolsheviks control, the Warsaw Pact control Mulroney, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Mulroney is on shaky ground right now, so he's got to move fast. And so who is the Canadian family? Okay, I will go into that after we take this call.
Yes, but I'll let you listen to the Church of the Subgenius show. Coming up to a few minutes after 1 o'clock, my name's Michael Dyer with J.R. Bob Dobbs and our third year anniversary. Hello.
You're on. Sounds like they're changing their tape.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Mike. This is a chart that might give us a guide to who that Canadian family is. At the top of the chart, you have the British monarchy. Now, revolving around the British monarchy are the families of the Hambros, the Beaverbrook, London Times, Hill Samuel Bank, Lloyd's Bank, and the Rothschilds, of course. And then the British monarchy in this group controls Eaglestar Insurance, which controls English Properties Limited, which controls Trizac, well-known Canadian name, which then goes into Edper and Semp, which becomes Seagram, which controls Hudson's Bay Company. The Seagram branches off into the Canadian Pacific Group, Macmillan Bloedel, and through Fred McNeil, the Bank of Montreal, the Royal Bank of Canada, R.D. Wolfe at the Bank of Nova Scotia, E.L. Colber, Toronto Dominion Bank, Marcel Belanger, Canadian Imperial Bank. I wonder if that's any relation to Jerry Belanger, our new programmer on Sunday night. So you have Seagram in the middle. So according to this chart, the Bronfmans are the Canadian family. And I always remember, was haunted, many years ago, a Canadian showed me a documentary of the Canadian establishment by Peter Newman, his book. It was made into a TV series of the Ten Families, the Secret Council of Ten. And there was a shot there of Trudeau. Well, I guess he was on the receiving line. People were coming by him. And when the Bronfman family came along, Major Bronfman guy, this was in the middle 70s, when he shakes Trudeau's hand, there was a strangest look exchange between them. I've never seen Trudeau look uncomfortable, really, other than that moment. So I always remember that image. If you ever see that documentary, CBC maybe did it, check out that one scene, the interplay between Trudeau and Bronfman, because Peter explained that Trudeau wouldn't go along with the Rockefeller designs of the middle 70s. That's why Turner resigned in 75. That's why Turner came back as limping in 84 as a Rockefeller holding spot to deal with Bolshevik-controlled Mulroney, right? European control. Let's take another call.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. Bob.
Yeah, Sean.
Hi.
How are you doing the exams?
I have to write one tomorrow morning.
Did you do one today?
I did one yesterday.
How was it?
It wasn't too bad.
Did you use my stuff?
Did I use your stuff? No, it was for German.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fourth Reich.
I can't use your stuff in school.
Not for the Fourth Reich, no.
No. Anyways. But now I thought I'd call up before I leave for camp. I'm leaving next week.
Okay.
So.
Oh, I want to thank you for the mail. It came right on time.
You got it?
Right today.
Oh, great.
So what's on your percept?
I wanted to talk about Peter for a bit.
Yeah?
You know, the CIA, they stuck that really highly toxic poison in Fort Knox after they looted Fort Knox.
Yeah, in the gold.
Yeah. Now, do you have any idea what that poison was?
It's a kind of plutonium stuff. Many people that worked at the Fort Knox depository died after that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was distributed around the world. And according to Peter, a lot of it caused a lot of the increase of cancer rate in the Pennsylvania area, Kentucky area, around where the Fort Knox depository is, because it was wafted around that area.
So I was wondering if maybe it wasn't an early draft of the AIDS virus. If maybe... if his sources
hadn't
gotten that straight, that could have been an early prototype of the AIDS virus.
He was one of the first people to understand the AIDS virus. He never got to talk about it on his tapes, but he talked about it to me privately after he stopped his taping. But he was on to this early experiments leading up to the AIDS virus, the swine flu stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Those experiments that were done in the middle 70s, he documented what the hidden ground of that was.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Dr. Peter, while he was alive from 82 till 87, we were celebrating the fact the first strike didn't happen on September 17th, 82, so we got into some business.